This is the Action Network Podcast.
And it is good.
Ready?
All right, here we go.
From the 10, throwing end zone. Spectacular catch.
They're saying it's a catch.
Touchdown.
You see, most gamblers, when they go to gamble, they go to win.
Oh, my God. That's incredible.
Big bank, small bank, I like to make money.
All right.
That is the ultimate kibosh.
You want to bet?
And we are underway.
What's up, everybody, and welcome to the Action Network NFL Podcast. This is your NFC team-by-team post-draft edition. I am your host, Chris Raybon, joined as always by my dude, Stucky. Stuck, we just had a good conversation about the AFC. Now we're jumping into the NFC. Any kind of top-level thoughts here about the NFC?
Yeah, the first thing you look at, AFC, it's loaded. So many teams, so many good teams. And the NFC is quite different. Different landscape, different feel. It feels a lot more wide open. You have a couple teams at the very top, you know, your Bucks, your Rams. And then it's like, all right, who's going to take that next step? I think that there's a chance for someone to sneak in that's a little unexpected and then maybe cause some chaos in the NFC. A lot different vibe than the AFC. So it's interesting in its own right, and I think it'll be interesting to talk about. So let's. I'm excited to talk some NFC.
Yeah, and if you haven't listened to the AFC pod already, go check it out. But just a refresher for the format is we're going to talk about how we feel about each team's draft, catch you up to date on any off-season additions or subtractions you might have missed that have betting implications going forward. We'll talk about the strength of schedule and the schedule in general, which we have now, which we didn't last time we recorded one of these. And we'll talk about the win total and all that good stuff. So let's jump right
Imagine
in.
Imagine if Brady didn't come back, by the way.
Yeah.
How much weaker the NFC would look even then.
I mean, it was an arms race in the AFC. It was just like I can't remember an offseason like that where like every other day it was like there was a major move. And it pretty much almost always involved the AFC team gaining. And in most cases, The NFC team losing. So, yeah, it was wild. But that, I mean, for better, I think this is probably more bets to be made in the NFC because there's more uncertainty. So let's jump in with the Cowboys, who I know have a lot of fans and are a pretty fascinating team, I think, because it feels like they're kind of on the upswing, but I don't know if I could confidently say that. And I want to get your opinion before we even jump into everything else with who they lost and whatnot, just on the draft alone, because personally, I wasn't impressed with it. They add offensive tackle Tyler Smith at 24th overall. They go with Sam Williams, an outside linebacker in the second round. So, and obviously, from there, they add a few more guys, for the rest of the draft. But I think they ended it with 9 picks in total. Jalen Tolbert in the third round out of Southern Alabama. Wide receiver should help. But I don't know. What did you think of the draft overall for the Cowboys?
Lowest rated draft of any team in the NFL for me. I hated it. I hated their entire offseason. I think that they got worse in the offensive line, worse at wide receiver, and the defense has some potential troubling regression coming after an unbelievable year of turnovers, which I'm not sure is sustainable. I think they got worse, or I think they're descending. This is a team that I thought was ascending towards a potential Super Bowl, which the great fans of Dallas and the Cowboys have been starving for so long for. Maybe they should start with maybe just some playoff wins. But I think they might be descending now. And I don't like what the – I just think they had an awful offseason. Additionally, it doesn't help that the Eagles, I think, got better, right? One of the rare moves when we went from some power in the AFC to the NFC is A.J. Brown going from Tennessee to Philadelphia. And I think the Giants got better as well. They should have some better injury luck, but I really like their draft. I had them as the third highest rated draft. I think the New York teams, Baltimore – were my top three highest rated drafts. Dallas is last. So I think the gap is closed. Don't really love what Washington is doing, but the NFC is still wide open for Dallas. They're still an above average team, but I think they're worse than last year. Other teams in the division are better. But yeah, I think I got to say, I think could be wrong. But I think Dallas is descending in the NFC. But again, it's the NFC. You just got to get in and they'll have a really good shot to get in. And then who knows what can happen.
Yeah, and I do agree with you about the turnovers and kind of the defensive regression because Trayvon Diggs, who just played out of his mind last year, 11 interceptions, 2 interception returns for touchdowns, that's just going to be really hard to replicate. And I worry about what happens if he's not producing outlier turnover numbers, because he didn't grade out well last year. Like, he wasn't a consistent player. He was 80th in PFF grades. He gave up over 1,000 yards receiving, 18.7 yards per reception, and he gave up 5 touchdowns. But of course, those were canceled out by the 11 interceptions. So, you know, that worries me a little bit. They finished number one in turnovers because of it. And, you know, Micah Parsons, I think, is a great player. So they obviously hit on draft picks before. Yeah. They can do it again. But, I do worry about that. I think wide receiver, like you said, it got worse. Gallup, he probably is not going to be healthy for the full year. Tolbert's a rookie. You lost Cedric Wilson, who was a great depth piece and a guy that could do some things for you as that third or fourth receiver. And you lost Amari Cooper. And so CeeDee Lamb's great. Dalton Schultz really stepped it up. But Dak Prescott last year, you know, coming, and maybe some of it had to do with coming back off the injury, but he had his worst QBR of his career last year. Now, a lot of people will just look at the underlying stats and say, okay, career high, 37 touchdowns, 10 interceptions, pretty good ratio, almost 4,500 yards. But you look at some of the advanced metrics and it wasn't one of his better seasons as a passer, as a quarterback. So I think that's a concern. I think especially because the offensive line didn't get better. It got worse. You know, you lose Lyle Collins, you lose Connor Williams on the interior. So from that perspective, I think Dallas isn't going to be as good. But here's the thing, to put that into context, they had 12.2 Pythagorean wins last year. So they're falling from a high place, and the NFC is just not that strong. So they have the 10th easiest strength of schedule. So their win total is at 10. You look at it and you say, hey, maybe I'm in the mid nines, but they do have a lot of gimme games, you know, Detroit, Chicago, and Houston at home, Jacksonville on the road. And then, you know, go to Tennessee. That's not that daunting anymore. They play the Washington twice, the Giants twice, depending what you think of them, aren't that tough. So it's, I think 10 is a fair win total for them. It's one of those win totals where, you know, you probably end up pushing it realistically. So I don't think there's much value here, but Cowboys just not a team I'm excited about. I think there are some underlying concerns. Like, they're one of the teams, if injuries hit them, you know, things could go downhill.
Yeah, it's funny. We talked about on the AFC podcast, we talked about the AFC West with the Broncos, Chiefs, Chargers, Raiders. They're all their strength of schedules. The Broncos are middle of the pack, but they're like 1, 2, 3. This, I have the Eagles have the easiest schedule. This just highlights kind of the weakness of the NFC. The Giants have the second easiest schedule per my power ratings. I have the Cowboys have, they're like the seventh easiest. And then Washington is the fourth easiest. Like, so there's going to be some opportunities for Dallas to get some wins. I project 9.8, 9.7, 9.8, right in that ballpark, win total 10. Nothing for me there. Look, the Eagles were intriguing. We talked about who do you want to take a shot on in this division? I think we both agree we didn't want Washington and Carson Wentz. I'm not a fan of what Washington moves. So the Giants or the Eagles? Who do you believe in, Daniel Jones? Who I think has maybe more unlock potential than Hurts, who we've seen play with elite talent. We saw him at Oklahoma. We saw him at Alabama. Maybe Jones with an improved offensive line, better wide receiver health, better coaching, most importantly, play calling. Maybe he has the higher ceiling. But then what did Philly do during the draft? They went out and got A.J. Brown, which was huge, and their win total and prices in the market reflected that. As a result, I don't think – I like what Philly's going towards, and I like their staff. But, you know, now their win total is close between 9.5 and 10, which is where I project them. The Giants, however, you know, if you got the Eagles before the A.J. Brown, you probably got some good value there. I don't see any value there. The Giants are my favorite win total in the NFC. I loved their draft. You're talking about – I know people question Thibodeau and his passion. I don't know that. I can't speak to that. I don't think anyone really can. This is a guy who is projected for a good deal of time. He's going to be the number one pick, right? Same with Evan Neal, who's going to come in and start a tackle. He was a guy that in the past was projected to be the number one pick. I love Neal. I think he's now, you know, you already saw Thomas kind of really improve and solidify himself as a starting caliber tackle in the NFL. And now you get Neal, who I love on the other end. Thibodeau's going to come in and help a really glaring need, which was edge rush. You're going to get better health at wide receiver, you would assume, Barkley's back. We'll see what he can bring. But I think the situation around Daniel Jones is significantly better. Bring in Wink Martindale, defensive coordinator. I think his scheme, you know, new scheme, the NFC, brings some pressure, which is where the Giants really lack. I think that can work here for a year. So there's a lot of things I like about the Giants. I project them close to eight, a little over eight, actually. You get a win total of 7 points, some plus money. Love the Giants. Don't hate taking a flyer on them either. The team that can just get in and who knows.
Yeah, the Eagles, I mean, you know, going back to the Eagles really quick, there's you know, you have them, I think, the easiest strength of schedule. I think they're second by win totals in terms of the strength of schedule. I mean, just looking at the schedule, Detroit, Washington, Jacksonville, Houston, Washington, obviously, twice, you know, home against Tennessee. You know, they play the Giants twice. They at Chicago, home against New Orleans is not a tough one. Like, they don't really have that home against Pittsburgh. Like, they don't have a ton of games on the schedule that you look at and say, this game is like unwinnable. Like, the toughest games they have are really Cowboys and they play Green Bay, and Green Bay, they play at home. So, like, this Eagles team is, you know, those teams that like just like get have like a perfect storm of things go right and they go like 12-5 or 13-4. Like, kind of like the Titans last year. It's like, this Eagles team could be really good. And, you know, it feels crazy to bet them over 9.5 on the win total, but I don't completely hate it just looking at their schedule. You know, it's crazy how easy it's looking as of now. You know, even if Jalen Hurts really doesn't take any steps forward, if he just is what he is, and like adding Brown and, you know, Davis, I think it'll help the run defense. Cause remember, they have that scheme like with Gannon that it's like, you know, we're going to keep two safeties back at all times. And, you know, the run defense can struggle. So, and Davis is like, you watch him play. He's a beast. Like, I do agree. I think it, you know, trading up or whatever they did to go get him, you know, were they targeting another wide receiver with that pick? Did they just really like Davis, you know, as kind of a future Fletcher Cox replacement? Who knows? But I like the player. So I like the Eagles a lot.
Yeah. The only thing I'd say about the Eagles schedule, cause it is favorable, they do have three straight road games on their schedule. Only four teams in the NFL have that this year.
Yeah.
Packers, Dolphins, Eagles, and Chiefs. But yeah, you're right. If you look at the schedule, you say, okay, we have to like what we're seeing. The other scheduling quirk, by the way, in this division is Giants and Washington and the Commanders. I'm somewhat used to saying the Commanders. Giants and the Commanders, it sounds like a fake team, USFL team.
Like the Cleveland Giants Guardians?
Commanders, yeah, exactly. They play back-to-back games, the Giants and Commanders, which is very odd. Only the second time it's happened in the last 30 years. When, you know, when the last time was? Last year, Ravens and Browns, I believe. I could be making that up. I'm not making up the Giants and Washington one. I think it was the Ravens and Browns last year, though. They played back-to-back games. But it's only happened twice in 30 years, I know that, which is weird. There's a buy in between. But yeah, what are your thoughts? Are you low on, I mean, Washington, look, their win total is 8. I project them at like 7-8, 7-7. I might even end up going a little lower. I don't like where this team is headed, but the schedule, the conference, there's some winnable games in there, which is why I have them projected pretty close to 8. So I'm not going under there. Are you as low on just not feeling what Washington is doing?
Yeah, I mean, you know me, Carson Wentz, that's a guy I'm comfortable fading. So, like, Washington with a win total of 8, I mean, it feels like at best you push that. Like, at worst, or I should say at worst you push that if you go under. Like, I know the schedule is easy, but, like, Washington, Carson Wentz is the quarterback, first of all. Listen, John Dotson, maybe he'd be a good player, but I think it was a little bit of a reach at 116, so I didn't love that. Rivera, you know, we like kind of him, beating the cancer and all, you know, the narrative is great, but I don't like the fact that they had like a very talented defense last year that we had high expectations for and it underperformed to a ridiculous level. You know, the quarterback might not be like this quarterback situation might not be that much improved. And then unless Dotson really, you know, which is a reach, knocks it out the park, the wide receiver situation might not be that much improved. Logan Thomas he was good a couple years ago, got hurt last year, but he's on the older side. He's not like, it's like his third year. It's like, he hasn't played tight end for that long, but he's what, 31? He's over 30. You know, the line, they lost Sheriff. I think the line will still be solid or good even, but this is it's kind of an average to below average team, in my opinion, still. And I really just don't like the quarterback situation. I agree. I think the Giants offensive line should finally be solid, maybe even good. And combine that with the fact that I think they improved in the front office. They improved on the sidelines. They improved the talent. They improved the pass rush. They improved, guys should be healthier. It's hard to say that Washington is anything but the fourth best team in this division. And if when the fourth best team in a division has a win total of 8, I'm going to go under that. So I like the under 8 on Washington, to be quite honest.
Don't mind it at all. Do you like the upside of the Giants?
I do. I mean, I'm a Giants fan, so I've seen it go wrong so many times. So I'm always cautious. I'm usually very down on the Giants, actually, at this time of year. So it's weird that I'm like high on the Giants and the Colts at this time of year. Two teams I'm usually down on. I just like what they did. A lot of the things with the Giants is like addition by subtraction. Like Garrett's long gone. Joe Judge, who's what is his career accolade? Like as a, like being Bill Belichick's special teams coach for a couple years, coordinator, whatever. Like he weaves with the same accolade that he entered with. So that addition by subtraction with the coaching staff. But I actually think Dable, Joe Shane at GM, I think like potential to be good. The receiving room should be better with, guys coming back healthier. Wan'Dale Robinson, a lot of people looked at that as a reach, but like for this team, I think he adds some much needed, juice, like some big play potential. Like he doesn't have to come in and play like 90% of the snaps. He could be the fourth receiver. So I don't mind that pick because I think he gives you instant like big play potential, could turn into to something really special. They have the easiest strength of schedule in the league based on opposing win totals. And he could have a better pass rush, and they should have good tackles with Neil on the other side, seventh overall pick. I like the Giants as well.
Giants over 7, my favorite.
And there, it's plus 105. So you're actually getting
got a better price because the Eagles added Brown. So it's got a little better a price now. But yeah, but Joe Judge, special teams coordinator at Birmingham Southern. Then special teams assistant at Alabama, gets 2 national titles from Saban. Then he goes into the special teams assistant for the Patriots, gets 3 Super Bowl rings. So he's just a special teams guy. And then all of a sudden he's the head coach of the Giants. And then now he's back to an offensive assistant for the Patriots.
Offensive.
Good for him. He got paid. But I think there's a lot of things that the Giants improved on the field and off. If you want to take a flyer on them,
yeah,
go for it, especially in the NFC. That's my favorite win total.
And one thing I want to just to wrap up the Giants is, even if Jones isn't the guy, they actually have a decent backup this year. Tyrod Taylor, 26-25-1 record in his career as a starter. I have my issues with Taylor and him missing some throws, especially over the middle of the field. But it's still a step up, and he's still a guy that could also run. So like you can still run your offense that you built for.
You
Jones.
You don't want to turn the keys over to Mike Glennon again.
Can we quarterback sneak on? Oh no, that was Jake. Who is it? Jake Fromm that they quarterback sneaked on third and second and long, and then third
for the Giants. It got bad for the Giants last year. You had, that was embarrassing. But you had Fromm and Glennon just embarrass themselves by a bad offensive line, and then all the receiver hurt. Oh my God, I forgot how ugly it got at times for the Giants. Giants fans, I think there's a light. Speaking to you too, Rev. There's a light at the end of the tunnel, and I think that. There's some reasons for optimism this year. So let's look at the schedule. What's the schedule start out like? Now, there's going to be a lot of winnable games because you're in the NFC. You're in that division where, I don't think any team is not beatable, when they play the Cowboys, when they play the Eagles. But I think they start out at Tennessee. Then they're home against Carolina, home against Dallas, home against Chicago.
Winnable.
There's a good chance that you can start 3-1, maybe 4-0. You go to Tennessee and steal that game, probably going to lose it, but – that's not a game where you can't win it. So, then you're home against Green Bay.
That's tough.
A lot of home games.
Home against Baltimore and Green Bay. That those are the two toughest games. Then it's like at Jacksonville, at Seattle, bye. Home against Houston.
Houston and Detroit at home.
Back to back, no less. You go to Dallas, you probably lose that one. Home against Washington and Philly. You go to Washington, but you just saw them 2 weeks ago. So, like, going on the road is not going to be – like, you're going to have a – you're going to understand how to – to play them because you just played them at home. At Minnesota is not as tough as it once was. You play the Colts at home, and then you end at Philadelphia.
Look, that the Baltimore game at home too is a Ravens fan. I could tell you, Ravens, just looking at the Ravens schedule, that Giants game scares the shit out of me. Right, it's an
trap game.
It's a out of conference game, and the Ravens are going. They play the Bills at home. Then they play Cincy with enormous revenge. Like, the, you know, they went to the Super Bowl. They destroyed Baltimore twice last year by like 50. Talk shit. Burrow was, I mean, there, that game, I can't wait to bet Baltimore there, depending on the number. But I had that game circled prime. I think it's a Sunday night or Monday night game. And then you go to New York to play the Giants before playing the Browns and the Bucks the next 2 weeks. So that is just sandwich city. So that, I think that works in the Giants' favor as well, even though that's like a really tough game on paper. I think it's a great spot for New York to steal it. I'm telling you that as a Ravens fan. So, yeah, really like the Giants' schedule. Really like what they did in the offseason. G-men. So we're high on both of our teams going into the into the season. What could go wrong?
Right. What could go wrong with the Giants and Daniel Jones and Tyrod Taylor? Let's jump to the NFC North. I mean, speaking of things going wrong, I mean, this, you know, I know Aaron Rodgers in this division, but this is another one of those divisions that just does not look good. So start the pack. They draft Quay Walker, an inside linebacker, late in the first round, and Devontae Wyatt. So they really trying to get better on the interior of their defense. Then they move up for Christian Watson, wide out in the second round. He, you know, it's no telling where exactly he lands on the depth chart, but if they hit on him and early, that would go a long way because they need that, because they lost Adams. That's just massive. I mean, he was responsible for essentially a third of their receiving production over the last couple of years. I don't even have to state how much of big of a loss he is. They lose Za'Darius Smith. You know, schedule's middle of the pack. You know, I just don't know. Like, Aaron Rodgers, you know, these back-to-back MVP seasons, how long is he going to keep doing this, and especially without Devontae Adams? Like, he's got to, you know, every quarterback kind of slows down except Tom Brady at some point. Like, is this – and even Tom Brady, like, remember the last year in New England, like, when Tom Brady had no receivers? He wasn't very good. So it's like, I'm not – like, you can't overstate that there could be – like, we could go back to, like, Aaron Rodgers pre-Hackett and LaFleur, which, by the way, Hackett is also gone. The offensive coordinator, but pre-Hackett and LaFleur, Aaron Rodgers was looking very ordinary for a few years in there. So, like, I am not feeling great about the Packers. What about you?
Yeah, I agree. I'm lower on them than the market. I mean, their win total is 11. I project them 10-3.
Yeah, that's an under. I love that Packer under.
There's a lot of things I don't like about the Packers. The one thing you do like about them, still have a great quarterback. I think the defense with Jair Alexander now has a lot of promise. I like some of the – I like their draft on the defensive side of the ball, but, like, you need Watson to kind of hit on the offensive end. And you're right. There is a chance that Rodgers takes a dip here, and then you're really screwed. Now, the division is easy. The conference is easy. That's really working in your favor. The schedule overall, even though they won the division last year, is easy because of the two things that I just said. So there's a lot of winnable games on the schedule. But, yeah, I think it's under or nothing with the Packers. Oddly enough – we talked about this on the only win total I show value on the over in this division is on Minnesota. And we both agree Minnesota future to win this division.
Yes.
It's one of my favorite bets in the NFC. I don't think that there's that much separating those two teams. And I think that the Minnesota has actually, like, I could see things going much worse for Green Bay than I can with Minnesota. Like, Minnesota, the ceiling probably isn't as high. But if things go wrong for Green Bay, this is Minnesota's division. Now, what I need to figure out is what to do with the Lions and Bears, because this is pretty crazy. I have them power rated almost identical. I have them, and their win totals are about the same. I project them each for exactly the same amount of wins. I graded their drafts exactly the same. And my edge on their win total under is exactly the same, but I don't want to take both because they're in the same division and they're playing, you know, it's like, you're kind of, it's going to be tough to hit both of those unders under seven juiced.
So six and I'm a half for you. In most books, fade Chicago. That's the answer.
Like, that's probably where I'm going with is, like, Chicago. I think they're just in rebuild across that entire roster. The only thing that with Chicago that gives me hesitancy is, like, okay, does Fields get a lot better? Because we kind of know we're going to get with Goff. So I think, like, so there's more variance with the Bears quarterback situation. But I think the rest of the roster, I mean, this is a team that's just in complete shambles because of the salary cap, and it's bad. So I'm leaning Bears going under the Bears for a third straight year, just like I'm doing with the Jets. And I like that you confirmed it right away.
Yeah, this is like, because like, look at Detroit. Like, number one, Campbell, I think good energy as a coach. Eberflus, we like him as a defensive coordinator. We have no idea what he's going to be as that coach. Campbell has good energy. Detroit, the roster got better. Like, Aiden Hutchinson, Jameson Williams going to come back at some point. You know, they get an edge guy in Pascal in the second round. DJ Chark at receiver. They resigned Reynolds. They got Amon-Ra St. Brown. So they don't even need Williams to come in and do anything. Mike, you know, they get Mike Hughes at corner. They have the fifth easiest strength to schedule. You know, I mean, the Bears have an easy strength schedule too, but like the Lions got better. Justin Fields, it's like, yes, I agree. There's more variance there. You don't know exactly what you're going to get with him compared to Goff, who, by the way, Goff should be better, right? Like, Goff should be better than last year. And Goff, when he has decent supporting cast, he's like not terrible. He's just average. Like, he's not terrible. He's only terrible when he's got a terrible supporting cast. I think this year it's closer to average. I think the line will be okay. I think the receiving core will be okay. Hockenson's a good tight end.
We like the offensive line. We love the offensive line.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then here's, I think that the lines, like the defense is scary. Like, is Okuda going to be?
No, probably not. Nice. I mean, well, maybe
give something because they really need that. They need something in the secondary.
Yeah.
That's what's really holding the back, but the offense has some promise. I'm curious. This is where your fantasy expertise can come in. Like, by the way, without Swift, it was a completely different offense last year. So, you know, you get Swift back. What are your projections for him? And then what are your, I don't know how far along you've gotten with Jameson Williams. Like, you hear different things in the medical, like, when are you anticipating he will come back? And he's obviously pretty important for this team, I think.
So Swift, I think, like, I like Swift to like approach, you know, he went over 1,000 scrimmage yards last year in 13 games. Like, I think he has like 1,500 scrimmage yard upside if he only misses like, you know, one or two games. You know, he had a bunch of like really big games on the ground, you know, a 130 yard game, 136 yard game, and back-to-back weeks on the road against the Steelers and Browns. So like, he has the upside. We obviously know he can catch the ball. He had 62 catches even in 13 games last year. So I think Swift is great. I think the depth at running back is good. And I think Williams probably plays realistically like half the season. That's how I kind of view him. I think he's a PUP candidate. But like I said, even without him, Amon-Ra St. Brown was special last year. DJ Chark is an upgrade on Khalif Raymond and whoever else they were trotting out there. I forget who else it was, Trinity Benson. And then Reynolds is solid, you know, as like a second, like your third option at wide receiver, your fourth option, fifth option in the passing game, because you're going to throw to Swift and Hockenson more than you're going to throw to Reynolds. And you're going to throw to St. Brown and Chark more. So as a fifth option in the passing game for half the season, I think Josh Reynolds is fine. And remember, Goff has chemistry with him dating back to the days with the Rams. So I think they're actually fine at receiver, even without Williams. And then again, yeah, offensive line, good. You know, back run a ground game should be good because the line is good and they have a talented back. And then, like, just to put this into perspective, Jared Goff was 25th in QBR last year at 39.5. Okay, that's not good. Out of 33 qualifiers, Justin Fields was dead last at 26.4. Justin Fields could improve and still be one of the worst quarterbacks in the league and still might not be as good as Goff was last year, even with a jump. So that's why I'm worried about the Bears. You have an offense that's in shambles, but a defense first head coach that you just signed. Because usually what happens is, you know, a team's offense stinks and then they bring in like an offensive minded coach because they had a defensive minded coach. And, you know, like they fired an offensive minded coach to bring in a defensive guy, but their offense is still in shambles. So like, and their defense got a lot worse because they just lost talent. I mean, the draft, I like the value they got on Kyler Gordon and Jaquan Brisker, a corner and a safety respectively in the second round. Think those are good value picks, but they're going to be counting on young guys on defense. There's not as much talent on the defensive side of the ball as there has been over the past few years. They got a new coach. The only thing you can say for the Bears is the schedule, but 6.5 is too much for what I think is one of the worst teams in the league. Whereas the Lions, I think they're just a below average team. I don't think the Lions are like one of the worst teams in the league. I think the Bears are. So yeah, I think you fade the Bears, you kind of leave the Lions alone. But I wouldn't be surprised, to be honest with you. You know, I know the math doesn't work out, but I wouldn't be surprised if the Lions won 7-8 games, to be honest. Like, especially if the Packers kind of regress and the Lions can steal one from the Packers or, at some point. I think it's not out of question.
Yeah, I want to see. I want to see Campbell not like give the reins to Ben Johnson, see what the offense could do, because I like Campbell as a head coach, but then he was like taking over the play calling, and then it got bad at times. I mean, I know it was Swift was out some of those games, and they were just handing it to Jamal Williams just right up the middle, running into a wall when everyone knew they were going to run it. That just got really predictable. And so, you know, apparently they're, you know, they're saying, hey, we're working with more tempo, all the coach speak you get in the offseason. So we'll see how the offense goes. But I agree. I think that we're on the same page. Under Bears and then
– and Packers probably.
Take a flyer on – yeah, don't mind the Packers under, and then take a flyer on the – it's not Vikings. Necessarily a flyer. I just think there's this value in the Vikings in the division.
Yeah, they're plus 275. Like, that's absurd.
Love that.
Like, the teams in like the Ravens and all those teams in the AFC West are like shorter to win a division, and they're competing with like three or four teams, arguably, like at least three, and you know, or like amongst three teams. The three teams have a real shot, maybe even four in the AFC West, and their odds are shorter than this Vikings team that's really competing with the Packers and might already be better than the Packers. And we know the Vikings are one of the few teams that, like, when the Packers, you know, go on the road to Minnesota, like, Packers really struggle, you know? So, like, the Vikings already kind of, you know, one of those teams that could beat the Packers at least once.
Yeah, Vikings open up the season at home, I believe, against the Packers, too. Is that right? I think so.
Vikings, yep. Week one, home against Green Bay. Big game.
Yeah, Fox, that'll be close
125
to
125 Eastern.
I think that's going to be close to a pick, not including that game.
425, excuse me. Yeah.
I've been a sort of favorite in 11 games. I'm not even including that first game.
Outside of the two Packer games, which might not be as hard, like, there's really no other game that, like, up and down the schedule that scares you. I mean, like, the tougher games on the schedule are, like, home games against mediocre teams. Home against Arizona. Home against Dallas. Home against New England. You know, like, those are – and home against Indianapolis. Like, all of their tougher games are at home. So, like, yeah, this Vikings team, I would invest heavily in that Vikings division – NFC North. I've already put a little bit on it, but that's
they also play at the Saints in London, so that's one of their road games. Instead of going to New Orleans, right, a tough place to play, they're playing the Saints in London. Interestingly enough, they don't have a bye after that, so they got to choose that. So then, but they're coming home for the Bears the week after at home. You know, then they're at Miami, then you're bye. Yeah, so. And then I believe, just to wrap up this division, because since we're such on the same, the Packers, yeah, for the first time ever, are playing. They're the only team who's never played an international game. I believe, you can double check this. I have their schedule just, yeah, I think that one of their home games is in, they're playing the Giants.
The Giants game.
The
Giants
like game. The Giants in London. And that's one of their home games. The NFC took away one of their home games, I think, right?
Yeah.
Like, they're only going to have...
I think they only have two preseason games, though, that's interesting.
7, 8. Yeah, they only have eight games in Lambeau, and then they're one of their home games. So one of their home games, you know, instead of getting the Giants at home in Lambeau, you're playing in London, and then Vikings, one of their road games, instead of going to New Orleans, they're going overseas. Another nugget to keep in mind.
Yeah. No, it's –
Packers also have three straight road games. So they go to London October 9th, no bye. The week after, come home. So they were in London October 9th, probably the Giants. We'll be on the Giants probably that game. They come home to Green Bay to play the Jets to win that game. Then they're at Washington, at Buffalo, at Detroit, and then home against Dallas. I mean, their bye is not until December 11th. It's probably the latest you'll ever see a bye. There's a lot I don't like about this Packers schedule.
They also travel to Tampa Bay, which we know is their kryptonite, week three. And they have a trap game in week 16 against at Miami, and they're a cold weather team going all the way to Miami
again
in between a game against the Rams and a game against the Vikings. So fade the Pack, bet the Vikings, and then fade Chicago. We're on the same page there. Just want to let you guys know that Sleeper is the fastest growing fantasy platform today with millions of players. You probably already have a fantasy league on there. I use it for mine. It's a game-changing product, unlike anything else in the industry. And now you could win on Sleeper by playing their new over-under game. It's super simple. First, in any sport, choose two or more players that you like and pick their over or under. For example, number of points in basketball, or amount of hits in baseball. Then you choose the amount of money you want to enter into the contest. If you pick correctly, you can win anywhere from 2 to over 20 times the money that you put in. And the main reason I'm excited about Over Under on Sleeper is that it's the only app where I can join my buddies' contest and play together. It's got a built-in group chat where I can see and copy my friends' picks with the tap of a button. It's insanely fun to ride it out together. So stop what you're doing and download Sleeper now to play their new over-under game. Have fun with your friends and make some money. On your mobile phone, join our listener group on Sleeper at sleeper.com/action. And Sleeper will automatically match your first deposit up to $100. Again, go to sleeper.com/action and you'll get a $100 match on your first deposit. Terms and conditions apply. See Sleeper's terms of use for details. Let's jump to Tampa Bay in this NFC South. They go Logan Hall, Luke Goedeke in the second round. They didn't have a first round pick. They traded down. They did lose Alex Kappa and, you know, Bruce Arians goes upstairs. Todd Bowles comes in a head coach. Gronk, we don't know what's going on with him. Chris Godwin could miss part of the season. OJ Howard's gone. But they do trade for Shaq Mason on the interior line. They get Russell Gage, a quality, you know, as long as he doesn't have to be your top option. I think it's a quality receiver they get from Atlanta. And they got the seventh easiest strength of schedule. And listen, you know, Tom Brady's, yes, he's a year older. Yes, some people, are, you know, the receiving core might not quite be as strong, but you look up and down the list at the teams in the top seven in strength of schedule, Giants, Eagles, Colts, Bears, Lions, Commanders, Bucks, like, the Bucks stand out as the only like elite team that has one of those easy schedules. Like the Colts should be pretty good. The Eagles, as we mentioned, could be pretty good. But like Tampa Bay really stands out as like a truly elite team with an elite quarterback that has one of the easier schedules in the league. So the win total is 11.5, even money. They had 12 Pythagorean wins last year. I still like this Tampa team.
Yeah. Best team in the NFC. And they are in a very weak division where they're clearly the best team. They're going to be there come playoff time. Now, because it's like, I guess get really good shot at the one seed too, based on now, which is really important from a futures perspective. This division to me is just, it's not worth spending a lot of time on, but I kind of like the Saints over. They've taken some money at 8. I like over, I mean, I project like 8-7, 8-8. I like what they did in the draft. I actually liked what Tampa did in the draft, but the Falcons and Panthers are just so bad and their situations are just dire. Tampa's going to be there. Now they might hit like a lull. It's hard. Brady like kind of prevents that though. Like just the demanding of perfection. So yeah, maybe they don't. I project the Bucks. What are they over 11 minus 1?
No, they're plus money. They're even money at 11 on DraftKings.
I project like 11-3.
Yeah.
So don't mind that. Yeah, I believe, let me double check. I mean, because they're home against, they get the Packers and Chiefs at home.
Back-to-back weeks, that's tough, but at least they're at home.
Yeah, they get the Ravens at home.
Rams at home.
Rams at home, which is why I was just double checking. They get the Bengals at home. I was just double checking. I've been favored in all 17 games. Now, some of them are going to be close, but I've been favored in every game in a really weak division. Really good shot at getting that one seed. You got Brady's probably going to, you know, keeps you focused and those potential trap games. So I would lean over with Tampa. I kind of lean over with New Orleans, kind of on the fence now because it was, I think, over 8 plus 105. I think it's over 8 minus 130 now. I project like 8.8. I'm extremely low on Carolina. I mean, look, what's Carolina? Yeah, it's Matt Rhule. Is he just going to say, we're going to the rookie? He's probably going to start with Darnold. If he goes, ends up going to the rookie, which I kind of like where they draft the crowd, but that means things have gone completely wrong with Darnold, which I think they will. And then you're in a bad spot, and I don't love the roster. The Falcons are in complete rebuild mode. There's not much to like about them. I have no interest in either one of those teams. I would lean under with both, but not enough to play. Lean Bucks over. This is the most boring division in the NFL.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I say this every year, but it bears repeating. Tom Brady has been to the Super Bowl in 10 of his 22 years, which means he's won the conference in 10 of his 22 years. That's 45%. But the Bucks right now are plus 330 to win the NFC, which is about a 23% chance. So based on Brady's career, he has like double the implied odds. You know, his track record is double the implied odds. And I mean, it's, you know, 22 years is still a low number in grand scheme of things, but it's one of the biggest sample sizes you're ever going to have for a conference win, you know, conference winner. So I might have some bucks to win the NFC. I think that's a good bet at this point. There's not really much else you can do, you know, with this division. I mean, the Saints still scare me because, you know, yes, they get Olave. They trade up for him, though. Like 11 was a little high, even though he should be a good player. They get Penning at 119 to replace Armstead. And then they draft Alante Taylor, a corner, in the second round. But they didn't really have much after that because, you know, a lot of trading of picks and whatnot. Like that they added Landry. I think the receiving core should be a lot better. You're still talking
about what are you expecting Winston. From Michael Thomas?
I think he'll be elite again. I think he's an elite receiver. I mean, granted, he doesn't have Drew Brees, so there'll be a step back in that regard. I don't think they pass as much. But remember, Michael Thomas did fine even with, like, Taysom Hill at quarterback. Like, it wasn't yeah. like the numbers went downhill even with him there. So
I feel like people sat on him too, like, out of nowhere. I was like, why? I mean, he was hurt.
I think he's going around, like, 25th wide receiver off the board. I think that's kind of nuts. Like, I think he still should be a top, you know, 15 guys. He's got that upside to still be monstrous. It's just I don't think they're going to throw as much in. I also, you know, the thing we haven't mentioned about New Orleans, you know, we talked about, you know, you got to catch everyone up on what's happened this offseason. You know, they lost Sean Payton. That makes me not feel very good about.
Yeah, well, we talked about that last time. Did Payton, yeah. like, fix Winston? And then in this, he's not going to be there. And, like, now Winston's going to be more in control, the quarterback that we saw before he got hurt, or like Peyton was needed to be there. And then, like, he's the whole, like, just handling him with kids' gloves, and without him, then Winston, all of a sudden it's just chaos again. That's the big question with New Orleans. Cause I think the roster is decent. This team could win 9 games, 10 games, get in the playoffs, make some noise in the NFC. I don't think they can, like, win a Super Bowl, but in this conference, this team could win 10 games. If Winston is under control. So lean over there, lean over Bucks, boring division, like just a snooze fest.
And Winston, like, one thing to, when we wrap it up, seven
games. We bet him as a dog.
Yeah, no, we will. But I'm saying, like, he had 7 games of, like, this new Jameis Winston, where he had, you know, 8.7 yards per attempt, 14 touchdowns, 3 picks. But we only had 7 games of that, and then he tore his ACL. So, like, he's still learning how to be this new Jameis Winston. He's only done it for 7 games. But now he has to also learn to be the new Jameis Winston with a new coach, and coming off a torn ACL. Like, so he could take a major step back or just revert to, like, the Jameis Winston of old. You know, the receiving corps should be better, but yeah, I can't get behind the Saints. And yeah, I agree. And the Falcons, you could probably still, I mean, you could go under 5 and probably still hits. I mean, their quarterback's going to be Mariota or Ritter. They have nothing at receiver out. You know, Drake London, I mean, they drafted him 8th. He might not even be able to separate. I mean, he could be great, but he also has a low floor. Like, he has that, like, Laquan Treadwell floor where he might just not be able to separate. So, I mean, and then they got Bryan Edwards, another one of the worst separators in the league. They trade him from, they get him in a trade from the Raiders. So they have a backup for London and they'll probably start him, but they have a backup for London to not separate. So, yeah, I don't like the Falcons at all. Casey Hayward, I guess, maybe was a nice ad, but not much there. All right, let's go to the West, the NFC West. This is one that I think we're spending a little more time on. Fascinating division. The Rams, they don't really have any draft picks on day one. No, they don't have any draft picks on day one or two. They don't make a pick till 340. Logan Bruss. Is it Bruce or Bruss? I don't even know. Guard.
They were originally thinking they were going to get the – Strange with the Patriots. That was fun.
Yeah, right.
Sean
yeah.
Payton was definitely lit up, man. He had some drinks in him.
Oh yeah, yeah. His whole commentary about that whole situation was pretty funny. You know, they get Allen Robinson, they lose Von Miller, they lose Rob Woods, Orson Corbett, the guard. They have the second hardest strength of schedule according to opponent win totals. Their win totals at 10.5. You know, I think this Rams team is good. Good team, good coach, good quarterback, good high-end talent on both sides of the ball. But, you know, I don't know. I don't see a ton of value in betting them. I just think you kind of know what you're getting with the Rams. I think Robinson, you know, Robinson has to not be washed. You know, like, he has to be who he was in the past because they're putting a lot. If not, they're putting a lot on Cooper Kupp. You know, we don't know what's going to happen with Beckham. And, you know, Robinson has to hit for them, I think, to really compete at the highest level. I think they'll still be a good team, but to get back to like that Super Bowl, you know, without Von Miller, without Robert Woods, I think Robinson really needs to hit.
Yeah, I look, their win total, surprising, what is it, sitting at 10.5?
Yeah.
I project them at, like, I was like, I'm probably going to end up fading the Rams this year, but I predict them right around there. I think it's a fair number, even though this is a team that just won the Super Bowl, and it's a team that I thought got fortunate. We agree. Yeah. In the playoffs, things just broke their way. I mean, they don't go there if Tart, was it, drops the interception that falls into his hands. They kind of got things that broke right for them. And then, you know, you get the Bengals in the Super Bowl. And the Bengals were a good team, but there was some tougher teams you probably could have paid just from a point spread perspective. So I was like, I'm probably going to be fading the Rams. I think that they got, I don't know, maybe a little worse overall, but they're pretty close to the same team. I think that their future is kind of sacrificed, but they're going to be right there, especially in the NFC. And despite having a, you know, pretty tough strength of schedule, even though they're in the NFC, it's mainly because of their division. I project them actually a tad over 10.5 wins. So I see no value here. The biggest question to me, if I had to go anything in this division, is the Seahawks under. I think that's a complete and utter disaster waiting to happen. They might be the worst team. Well, we know the Texans, besides the Texans, but they might be the second worst team in the NFL. And but the big Falcons question here,
I have something to say about that, but
yeah, that's true. The big questions here are Arizona, who we probably both don't like with Cliff, and you have Hopkins, who suspended 6 games. I think the Ravens fleeced him in that trade, but maybe that made for Marquise Brown. They added Hollywood Brown. Maybe that makes Murray happy. They used to be college teammates, but I don't think you're going to be high on the Cardinals either. But the biggest question in this division is, it's sort of like the Browns, right? The Browns quarterback situation in the AFC North makes that division tougher. Like, I want to bet this team in the division, and then also for win totals, because we don't know if Watson's going to play and how many games he's going to play. Enormous difference, because the same thing is with the 49ers. The 49ers are going to, and by the way, that Brown situation could impact the Seattle situation, because you could have Baker Mayfield going there. Kyle Shanahan said, we're probably going to trade Jimmy G. Just a matter of time. But when? And when is that going to happen? And then I was disappointed what I saw from Trey Lance last year. So, yeah, it's pretty much like it's a rookie. Shanahan has had success with rookies before. It's a pretty good system in place there. Pretty good roster. But we don't know the quarterback's going to be there. We don't know if Seattle's going to end up getting a different quarterback, but I think that's a disaster. But there is a lot of uncertainty here. I don't like the Cardinals. I hate the Seahawks. The 49ers are a mystery. The Rams are the defending champs and in a very weak conference with a lot of uncertainty in the division. They're kind of the known here. So curious to get your thoughts on the other teams, because we agree who the Rams are. I think like 10.5 is a fair win total. I don't see any value in their future. I don't want to fade them. I don't want to bet them. So it comes down to these other teams. For me, I lean Arizona under, and I lean Seattle under. Curious to get your thoughts.
This division, and it applies to the Rams too, but, you know, we talked about the NFC being weak, and we kind of hit on that. You know, there's usually two or three bad teams in the first three divisions, the East, the North, and the South. Like, at least two, arguably could be three teams that finish below 500 in each of those divisions. Now, this division looks a little stronger on paper, but this division gets the shaft in that this is the division that plays the AFC West. You know, all four of these teams are going to play the Chiefs and the Chargers and the Raiders and the Broncos. Like, this is still a division of fade. Like, I don't think a lot has changed, like, outside of the quarterback situation, which is still massive. The Niners aren't super different either. I mean, you know, I think they're going to be there. They still have Shanahan. They still have a lot of talent. Now, there could be
some issues. Do you have a hot take on Lance?
Nah. It's like the opposite. It's like he's just kind of a little bit underwhelming to me. But at the same time, Jimmy G wasn't that special either. Jimmy G just won games. But Kyle Shanahan, every quarterback that he's had in San Francisco seems to like overachieve, right? So, like, I think you have Lance for 17 games starting. I don't think he's going to wow people maybe as much as like his draft pedigree would indicate, but I think they'll still be able to win games and like run the offense and play defense and, you know, scheme the ball to their playmakers and do what they need to do. Like, I just don't think it might not be like Josh Allen, you know, or, you know, whatever you're kind of hoping for. So I don't have a hot take. It's like the opposite, which maybe that's not what Niner fans want to hear. You know, the draft, obviously the only pick you get in the first 2 days is, Drake Jackson, an outside linebacker. You had Trevarius Ward. I thought that was a good fit at corner. Yeah, I thought that was a really good fit. That was something I kind of pointed out before the draft. I thought that was where he should go, and he did. Strength of schedule still in the middle of the pack, even with facing the West. Win total at 10, plus juice to the over at plus 110. So, you know, listen, I'm not going over 10 wins with Trey Lance probably starting at quarterback. It's just there's not enough there. But I don't think it's that different here with San Fran. And then Arizona, I worry about Arizona, man. I mean, they too have to face the West, AFC West. They have the ninth hardest strength of schedule according to opponent win totals. You know, yes, they get Marquise Brown, but again, he averaged 11 yards per catch last year. Yes, he's played with Kyler, so maybe that helps. But Kyler Murray's in the midst of a contract holdout, or he's not reporting to camp. So who knows what's going to happen with him? Hopkins is already suspended.
Cliff. You have Hopkins. Still and then you Cliff. Know Cliff ends. You know Cliff ends seasons, and you don't have Hopkins
for the beginning of the season. And let's be honest, like, you lose Chandler Jones, that's a big loss. You lose Chase Edmonds. Running backs don't matter that much. But remember, running back was a big part of their offense last year because, you know, the injuries to Hopkins, and they also lose Christian Kirk, who was had a very good season last year and was able to step up with, you know, with Hopkins out. You invested in James Conner. James Conner has been hurt pretty much every year of his career at some point. So I worry about the Cardinals, even at 8.5 wins. I probably lean under with them. And then, like, the Seahawks, I think I disagree a little on the Seahawks. I think there might be value.
Drew Lock season for you?
Well, no, because here's the thing about, and like, I'm not betting them now, but what I'm saying is, like, they are in the market for a quarterback. Like, maybe they get Mayfield. Maybe I doubt they get Garoppolo. But, like, their win total is 5.5. It is juiced to the over, but it's 5.5. They actually had 9.3 Pythagorean wins last year, only won 7 games. So they did kind of underachieve. You know, they did get a lot of players back. It's like, to me, it's not like a terrible on-paper team. It's just Drew Lock is pretty terrible. But remember, Drew Lock was starting for the Broncos last year. They still had 8.9 wins. Now, this roster isn't as good. But, like, I don't think it's terrible, especially with all the depth they got, you know, adding Fant, Harris, Quentin Jefferson, Nwosu. They still got Metcalf and Lockett, receiver. Like, I think this is a team that could still win 6-7 games, especially if they, you know, upgrade at quarterback a little bit with somebody like, you know, Mayfield or Garoppolo. So, like, I'm not ready to go under the Seahawks at 5.5 yet. And especially with the Cardinals could struggle. But the real issue here is that, you know, you're also playing AFC West, you know, and you're still the worst team in your own division. So I get why you think the Seahawks could be a disaster. I'm not totally there yet, but because I also don't like Pete Carroll, and, you know,
Pete Carroll's still there is the thing.
Yeah. His philosophy, it rubs off on the offense, even though he's like a defensive coach. Like, yep. It rubs off on, you know, he wants them to run. And so it's like, I don't know. Things break right for the Seahawks. You know, they could kind of maybe win some one score games, but it's, I don't know.
See, I hate the defense too, but you're right. I'm on the quarterback. That's what's keeping me. Although I don't know, because Carolina, they drafted a quarterback, and you have Darnold, who you traded a second and fourth round draft pick, which is a disaster. We knew that from the start. I actually don't mind the third round draft pick for Corral, but because the rules on the hot seat, some people say he just wants to go back to college, so who cares? But does Carolina potentially trade for a quarterback, even though they drafted one and then just sent draft picks to Darnold? I tend to think no, but where is Jimmy G going to end up if not? Because if Jimmy G went to Carolina, I would want no part of that under. I actually kind of like the over. Jimmy G's probably going to win you a couple games that Darnold would lose. Like, Jimmy G's not going to probably lose them. And then there's like a 3-4 win swing in that. Shanahan came out today and said, we're probably going to trade him, but there's no guarantee, is what it was said. So I don't know where he could potentially end up, but that could swing some things. I think ultimately, and part of me just wants to bet Arizona under because of Cliff, and I do show like a half a value of wins there. That's probably where I lean here. I lean Seattle under too. But with the Jimmy G uncertainty, the known certainty, the known commodity of the Rams, and I have them dead on, I'm probably staying away from anything in this division.
This is just a hard division to bet, not only because of uncertainty, but it's also pretty fairly priced right now. Yep. You know, it's just not... Yep. Yeah. So, all right. So that's going to do it. Let's recap. For me, it's the Vikings plus 275 to win that NFC North. Packers under 11 wins. Bears under 6.5 wins. Bucks to win the NFC at plus 330 is another one I really like. And then, you know, rest of the NFC South and the entirety of the NFC West is, I just don't see much to invest in, especially at this time of year right now. What about you?
Yeah, don't disagree with anything you said, but I'll just highlight my two favorites. Bears under, and my favorite is Giants over.
Yeah.
I like a lot of things that they did, and I don't mind taking a flyer on a Giants future, whether you want it to be to win the NFC, to get to the playoffs and or to win the Super Bowl, depending on your risk tolerance. And yes, Giants, my favorite bet in the NFC.
What is the stat you always have every year about the NFC East? No one wins it twice.
No one has won it in back-to-back years since 2004.
The Eagles kind of jumped up to plus 165. I mean, it's still a plus money bet, but not really enticing at that point. You could definitely win it. They're second best team in that division, but Giants 10-1 to win the NFC East.
I like that.
Yeah, that. I think I like that too. All right. That's going to wrap it up for our NFC podcast, our NFC post-draft Action Network podcast. Be sure to leave us a 5-star review on Apple or Spotify if you enjoyed the pod. Be sure to check out the Fantasy Flex pod with Sean Kerner and I, going division by division, every fantasy relevant player on every team. The AFC West episode is already out. We're doing the NFC West episode in a couple of days, so that should be out not too long after these drop. And you can find Stucky on Twitter at Stucky2 and me at Chris Raybon, R-A-Y-B-O-N. You can also find us at those same handles in the free award-winning Action Network app. Until next time, let's get this money.